We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin. The express train from Monterrey has been derailed outside of Mexico City. Early reports indicate an appalling loss of life. There are eyewitness accounts which state that monster scorpions have swarmed around the wreckage, creating havoc.
You're listening to Extra Life Radio. And now, a man who plumps when you cook him. Scott Johnson. Scott Johnson. Scott Johnson. Scott Johnson. Scott Johnson.
Hey everybody, welcome to a Thursday night episode of the My Extra Life podcast. This is Scott Johnson, your host, and as usual, we are bringing you a late week mini-cast, as it were. And I shouldn't say as usual, I've been slacking on the mini-cast, at least I did last week and missed one. But for those who are new to the show, this is something I try to do once in a while late in the week. Earlier in the week, I brought our regular group show to the table, and we do that every you get the show Tuesday, we do it every Monday night, and make sure you check out the archives and see what we do there, and we'll of course be here next Monday or next Tuesday for you. But today is a kind of a unique and special day. I'll use the word special. I have on the air with me Len from the Jawbone Radio Show, one of the podcasts that graces my iPod whenever there's a new show. And so I'm really excited to have him on here. So, Len, how's it going? And welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on, Scott?
Well, I'm doing all right.
Is Obsidian there?
No, he doesn't sit here with me, which is unfortunate because I think I could do with a little in-studio sort of banter with somebody, and Obsidian is just the guy that I could do that with. Actually, I really enjoy the group show and the guys that are on the show with me. They're, you know, a great bunch of guys, and, you know, they're pretty eccentric in a few ways, and it makes for a pretty interesting interesting show, I think. So,
oh, I love those guys. I do love the group shows. You mentioned at the top there that you know the group shows are a lot of fun to do. They sound like they're a lot of fun to do.
Yeah.
You know, you got I can't think about how many times I'm just like sitting here working at my desk and I'm listening to you guys.
Yeah.
And I'll just start laughing. Like it's like that's what I love about your show. It's just so, like, you feel like you've just kind of like jumped in the middle of, and you just kind of like listen to these guys talk. I mean, I've had conversations like that with all kinds of my friends and stuff. So
sure. That like is what extension. It's like. Yeah, I agree with you. It's like a bunch of your buddies sitting around on a couch and just, you know, shooting the crap. And I do enjoy that format. The one thing that's been a challenge for me is talking to these guys over Skype where there's five or six of us in a room and being able to manage that somehow. So that it's, you know, so that nobody's, you don't have too much talking over each other. And then when there is some of that, we try to play off of it and kind of joke around a little bit. I mean, as everyone knows, Obsidian has the worst bandwidth on Earth. And so we're constantly making fun of him, and he's got some really important thing to say, and all we end up getting is, and then, you know, it's all downhill from there. But,
that
yeah.
guy, Obsidian, I remember when I first started listening to your show, I was listening to one of the group shows, and Obsidian, I just remember him because he was describing his schedule, like you talked about your, you know, what happens and what, you know, and you guys went through your day and
our webcomic schedule, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah, your webcomic schedule. And I just remember listening to his and I'm like, oh my gosh, he like gets up at like 7 a.m., he starts drawing, and then he like, I'm doing that till around 11.
Yeah.
And then I never ever heard that he took a bathroom break or that he ate.
Yeah, it's like Star Trek is what I call it. It's like you never see that on Star Trek. Where does Kirk ever have to go and do his business? I don't know. They never show it. He's like that. He's the Captain Kirk of modern webcomics. That's what we like to say. And with
Did
the Spanish
Dean
accent.
Did Kane ever have to use the bathroom?
I don't know. Unlike Lewis and Clark. Or not Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
Lois and Clark, excuse me.
Lois and Clark,
not the Explorers. My brain.
I have to work that in.
It's pretty good. You know what? It keeps with the tradition. In fact, on the minicast, I usually forget to bring it up. So this maybe marks a first.
See, there you go. I just wanted to make sure.
The regular guys will be thrilled when they hear this, that we didn't forget.
For those of you keeping score.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Those two or three that are. But hey, I wanted to say this too. The fact that we're even doing this, and I said this before we started, and this will be new to the listener, but I really feel this way. You're a bit of a minor celebrity within a lot of podcasting circles.
You know, I don't even want. Thank you very much. What was that?
It's my phone. Hold on, I'm not going to answer it because I'm just going to. Hang on a second. All right, everybody, sorry about that. I had to get the phone out of here and give it to my wife. Len, you were saying, we were just talking about how you're kind of a minor podcasting. I wouldn't even say minor. I think you're, you know, a kind of a big deal out there. And I'll tell you why in a second. But how do you feel about a statement like that?
I thank you very much. I appreciate that. I certainly don't feel that way just because I'm out there with everybody else, you know. I mean, I just feel like we're doing a show, and I'm just really lucky that people have found it, but I don't feel, I don't know. I guess that's, I don't know. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much. I just have to be gracious.
Well, you're such a humble guy. I knew you wouldn't have a good answer for that. But I did want to ask you, how long have you been doing this? How long has Jawbone Radio been around?
Well, Jawbone. Hey, you know, I'll give you a funny little story that I don't think I've ever told anybody.
I'd love a funny story.
Is Jawbone actually started a couple years ago, and it started as an experiment at my message board. And I was trying to collaborate, come up with something with an online collaboration with some friends of mine.
Yeah.
And what originally was going to be was just a blog that people were going to just like kind of like Boing Boing, you know?
Yeah, I love Boing
Boing. It never got off the ground. I love Boing Boing too. And it was like, you know, it never got off the ground.
Sure.
So what we had was this space, and I had this cool name for something, and I never ever used it. So when we started doing the show, we started doing it in, I want to say, February.
Of this year?
And yes, of this year.
Wow.
And we didn't, we didn't have a name for it or anything. We just started talking. And one of our first shows was actually talking about this city inspector that was forcing his way into our home, and you know, it was just kind of weird. It was a bone of contention, and we were really kind of stressed out about it. So we used the podcast to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when we did the second show, I just said, you know, let's call the thing Jawbone, huh. And that's how it stuck. So,
wow.
But we've only been doing this since February, and one thing I'll say about the show is that. Has been really fortunate for us, or unfortunate, depending how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Is that we have gotten a lot of attention from like the press and just things like that, right from the get go. I mean, yeah. It was literally like we opened up our mics, and some guy from the big local paper here just started listening to us, and then we get a call like a couple weeks later saying we were going to do a show on do a story on podcasting. And we want to feature you. So we ended up on the front page of our newspaper. And then, you know, it's just things have kind of happened since then. And it's just is kind of weird.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, the thing is, well, a big part of it, I'm sure, is is timing. You guys were, you know, started podcasting when things were really starting to heat up. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I came a little late to the game. I think I started in, I want to say May. Yeah.
Really? You've only been doing that long?
Yeah. Well, the show actually existed in a different form. Before all this, and a lot of my listeners know this, but I'm going to revamp it, and if they don't like it, screw it. but here's the story, just the short of it. I started Extra Life Radio back in 2001.
Okay.
I think, and it was just a download show, you know, nothing crazy or fancy. And we used to actually do it live on Saturdays, and a bunch of people would get in an IRC chat room and would listen to the show over some streaming servers, and then I would take the recorded shows after that, and we'd upload them, and people could download it. And it was a whole lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. But the biggest problem was there was never a really good delivery method. It was just downloaded off the site sort of arrangement. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of coincided with the comic strip and everything else. And after a while, I just got to thinking, there's just not a really good distribution method for this thing. And so I stopped. Well, lo and behold, right underneath my nose... And I'm a fairly tech-savvy guy, but, you know, and I've had an iPod since a long time ago, long before I heard
sure.
of podcasting. But here comes this term, and when I first heard it, I thought it was some kind of screwy hardware you bought from Apple that, like, broadcast your music around the house or something. I didn't know what it was. I'm thinking, podcasting? Well, and so I just sort of ignored it, and I'm really mad that I did because it turned out I was way ahead of my time and didn't know it. I kind of had the handle on the whole product before, you know... before a lot of people did, but the format is a very different format now. It used to be very different. It was very video game centric. It was very sort of news centric. And I've even in the earlier shows on the current podcast, they've sort of evolved and changed. And And, you know, we've kind of come up with what we are now, which is more just sort of an eclectic mix of technology and movies and geek stuff in general.
Right.
Talk a lot about art and things like that. We got a few, obviously, a few webcomics on the, or webcomic artists on the panel. But that brings me to what I wanted to talk to you about next.
Okay.
And that's this. And here's why I think you're a minor celebrity. Because I didn't really clarify why I think that. But I noticed one day, I'm hunting through the podcast alley forum, just kind of trolling around.
Right.
And up pops this thread where somebody's doing artwork for everybody. And it's like out of control. I'm thinking, what is going on in here? And I'm totally interested, of course, because that's kind of my main thing.
Yeah.
So I'm digging through there and I start to see all these drawings. I'm thinking, this guy is good. Who is this? Jawbone, what? You know, I was just kind of trying to figure out what you were all about. And that stuff's awesome. And so even today, I'm always on the hunt for where your stuff's getting used. And I see it a lot in those forums, obviously. People are using it for their avatars and for their, you know, whatever. But I could have sworn I saw a couple of them on iTunes today. And I know we were both sorely disappointed that was wrong. But but still, you've had, I think, a real impact that way. People really dig on the work that you did in there. So my question is, what inspired you to do it? And what's next? Are you going to do some... I mean, are we going to see big, huge things from you?
Well, I'm glad you asked. To answer your question about what inspired me, I've always been an artist. I've always been a cartoonist, and you know, I did this as a job for a couple years. I just drew, you know, I was just drawing cartoons for a local company here, a local retail company, and so I really honed my craft that way. And then I remember telling my wife, like, oh man, you know, I got to get out of this because, you know, at the time, like, the digital revolution was coming in. I was just, like, around 94 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a lot more computers, a lot more people doing digital art. And I thought, you know, cartooning is like a dying breed. And I thought, I just got to get out of it. So I just kind of stopped doing cartoons. Like, I would do, you know, spot illustrations and stuff for people every once in a while.
Sure.
But I, you know, and it was part of what I did for a living. You know, I would do illustrations. I have one illustration client, and so I'd do that. But it wasn't anything that I really kind of, like, I could do it, but I didn't really, you know, focus on it.
Sure, sure.
So on one of my shows, you know, we were talking about some plumbing problems we had. And and I said, you know, my wife was kind of like, ah, oh, you know, she's my co-host, Nora.
She's awesome, by the way. You totally married up, dude. She's like this. She's like the perfect radio host wife. I mean, she's always got something to say. She's savvy on, like, current events and trivia and, like, geek out stuff. And I'm like, every time I listen, I go, man, that is. I mean, nothing wrong with my wife. Let me clear that right up in case she hears this. But she could never sit down with me and talk to me with me on the microphone, and so you're totally lucky. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just thought I'd mention.
Oh, no, that's all right.
She's awesome.
Nora's a great addition to the show.
She
and
really
is. I really think even the show's just about her because she's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, just but what I was saying was that we had this plumbing problem.
Yeah.
And it was like a $300 plumbing problem.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know, and Nora was kind of upset about it, and I said, look. I just got that morning. I'd gotten a call from a friend of mine who needed an illustration of a oh man, what was it? It was
emu.
A colon.
Oh,
no, it was a colon, literally.
Oh, a colon.
She needed a medical drawing of someone's colon. So I drew it up.
That's awesome. Anyway.
And I said, look, you know, that's, you know, don't worry about the money.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I just drew a colon and, you know, that's it. Well, lo and behold, we talked about it in our podcast, and one of the listeners said, now I'm really interested. What is this colon you drew? So
yeah.
I posted it on the blog, and then on our next show, I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Because I used to do comic book shows every once in a while. I had a friend who was sold comic books, and he wanted me to become, like, the new comic book artist. So he'd have me sit behind his, like, booth and, like, have me there, and we'd have signs and shit and stuff like that. Len Peralta, come meet him, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, who is this guy?
So I would draw for, like, a buck, and, you know, I would draw, like, Spider-Man or Batman for kids. And every once in a while, there'd be a guy that would come up and ask, you know, hey, can you can you draw She-Hulk naked? There's always a guy like that at one of those at those shows. There's always a guy that says, you know, can you draw?
Yep.
So
the She-Hulk
so
naked
I used
card.
That. Yeah, or they'd come up with these penthouse, you know, the penthouse cards, yeah, and say, you know, could you draw her with like a little less clothes? And I'm like, what?
That's
dude,
classic.
You got the card. What the hell is the problem?
Yeah, that's
know?
Classic.
So basically, I use that as an inspiration. I said, look, I'll draw whatever. You guys, you tell me. I was a way to kind of just get like people involved in the show.
Sure.
I'll draw whatever. You
sure,
know?
Sure.
So I posted over at Podcast Dally, and I had, you know, I think I kind of blew people's minds or something because I work really fast.
Yeah. Oh, I'd say that thing exploded, and I couldn't believe your output. You were cranking that stuff out there. You'd be a perfect web cartoonist. I don't know why you're not doing one. Seriously, you should do one. In fact, aren't you? You did the. Who runs the stupid site? I can't remember his name ever. That runs Podcast Alley. Chris.
That's Chris.
No,
yes.
Yeah, Chris. You did that. Are you doing that holder page that he has up there now?
Yeah, the downtime page.
Yeah, yeah. That's totally cool. Great stuff.
He asked that for me when the site was like crashing and stuff like that, and he just said, "I need something to put up to make people happy. Can you do it?"
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I saw that and went, "Oh my gosh, that's got to be his work." But that I'm telling you, the kind of speed that you have and the quality of the work, that right there equals money in the bank for web cartoonists. I'm telling you, man, you should do
really?
A strip. Oh well, yeah, I don't know what yet or what the comic should be. You'd have to come up with all that, but I'm telling you, dude, you could totally do it. It's just you're
well,
perfect
for it.
Well,
I showed you. I tried to do a webcomic a while ago. Remember, I showed that to you.
Oh yeah.
It was called IP.
Yeah, and I can't remember what your reasoning for not doing it. What was the deal?
Well, the reason why is just because it just got really difficult to do. I mean, I was spending too much time working on them. And
yeah.
What I really wanted to do was because I'm also a writer as well. Like
sure.
I was a copywriter. So what I wanted to do was meld the two together because I'm actually, you know, like an art director and a writer. And it was weird because I worked in advertising and nobody really knew where to put me.
Yeah.
Because I'd be drawing storyboards, but I'd also be writing my own spots.
Yeah.
So people were like, well, what the hell, man? You kind of do everything. So I wanted to do something that was fun, that I enjoyed, that used both talents.
Sure, sure.
So I ended up putting out about 24 episodes of IP, and it just petered out. I mean, I ended up working. I started my own business out of my home, and it was I ended up just working, and that became my full time gig. And I just
ran out of time.
Couldn't do it. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that I just didn't devote the time that I wanted to it, and it just kind of died.
Well, I know the whole sense of the kind of this feeling of something's got to give. I have similar pains. It's like, you know, I've had people say to me, so how's the webcomic doing? Oh, good. We're doing this and this and this. And they'll check it out. And they'll say, how do you have time to do three of those a week, two podcasts a week, and produce them in a way that takes time? And they take time to do.
Definitely.
Have a family of three, spend time with your wife, have a full-time job. And my only answer is, I don't know. I don't know how I'm doing it.
You know what I tell people, because people ask me the same thing. I've got five kids.
Yeah.
And you know, I work from home, luckily, and I see them a lot.
Sure.
But people ask, you know, people still like, you know, how can you do that? I mean, you're doing a show. You're doing everything. I mean, basically the same. What you just rattled off is exactly what people say to me.
Yeah.
And you know what I always tell people?
What's that?
I go, it's like Yoda. Yoda said, "You don't try, you just do."
Yeah. There is
and that's
no,
it,
there is
you know?
No try.
There is no try. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sorry. I paraphrased.
No. It was good. It was good. I think I adhere to those same bits of wisdom from that puppet. And here's the other thing about having all this stuff going on at once. I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it so much.
Right.
And
exactly.
that's the key. So I just tell people, look, if it's something you're totally passionate about, you do it. And
exactly.
Yeah. And so I understand this is like the first vacation you guys have taken in like years.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we're getting ready to leave on a vacation, a short hiatus.
Oh.
And this is like the first time we've been able to get away in almost 2 years.
Does that mean no jawbone for a few days, for a week, or how long are you guys
going? I've actually talked about that on the show. We're going on a little hiatus. And just kind of, you know, I'm bringing the iRiver and I'm bringing our little Sony mic, and hopefully I'll be able
good.
To catch some audio from the beach.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not really counting on it, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. You do what you can
me,
do.
I think.
Yeah, you do what you can
that?
Do. Do what you can
exactly.
do because we as fans of your show, I've become a big fan. I am looking forward to your return because it's hard when some of your favorite podcasts take some time off. I know. Oh, here's another guy you know, Mr. Celebrity. You know the what's his name, Brian from Coverville, pretty well, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Jeez, look at you guys all hobnobbing. He's like a big shot.
He is a big shot. Well, I was really lucky to get him on my show. Like when I did, it was funny because I just started. Nora and I came up with like a short list of just people we'd like to have on the show, celebrities and podcasters and things like that.
Sure.
And Brian was one of the people that actually said yes, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Brian from Coverville! Wow, you know. But now it's like Brian from Coverville. I mean, he's got Tower Records as a sponsor. I mean, he's like. Crazy.
He's going nuts, and his stuff, and he's doing the same thing. And that's what reminded me of it. I guess he's taking some time off, and and good for him for doing it. And he just won that award. It's perfect timing, if you ask me. You're going to win an award, may as well win that and then leave. but you're kind of hobnobbing with these guys, and it just seems like it's really growing for you. What is it about, in your opinion? Now I know this is hard to answer because it's hard for me to answer when people ask me this. But what is it about your show that's attracting these people? What do they like about it?
That's a good question. I don't know. Honestly, I mean...
I can tell you what I think.
What is it?
Well, let me tell you what I think it is. I think that there is a certain... and we brushed this before we started recording, but there's a certain sort of relaxed... I don't know what to compare it to. I know a lot of people compare you guys to Seinfeld a little bit.
That's what the BBC said.
Yeah, and I can see that comparison because not that it's any sort of ripoff or a copy of anything Seinfeld did or does or the show is like, but there's this sense of kind of relaxed, open sort of, I don't know, like the mic's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty potent, I think. And I think there are a few podcasts out there. Some of the ones that are having some of the most play are like that. And I envy it because I just don't have a co-host. I think co-hosts make a lot of difference. You know, when I started the show without the group, oh man, I was probably boring people to death. It was just me sitting here going, and now here's a real funny thing I did earlier today, and and whatever. That's lame. Anybody can do that. So I think that you've really captured whatever that essence is, and that's probably why things are going well. Would you agree with that? Or do you think you got some other magic that's going on there?
One thing I'll say is when Nora and I open up the mics, it's funny because we don't really talk to each other any different than we do when we don't have the mics in front of us.
Sure.
And I think that's what's kind of interesting is that I listened to a lot of podcasts before I got started, and I kind of like sampled. And there were, we were entering into a category that was pretty saturated.
Sure,
it was a
sure.
husband and wife podcast, yeah. the man and the woman podcast. And it's like you've heard them all. You've heard one, you've heard them all. And,
sure, sure.
And what I was running into was that these people would talk about stuff that was like, would you talk to your wife and stuff like that? And is that the way that you would be in real life? Or is this, it just didn't seem very real.
Yeah.
And so we made a conscious decision to say, look, we'll just open up the mic and see what happens. And if people listen, that's great. We'll just keep doing a show, and that's the thing. We'll run in. We have a very interactive fan base. We get a lot of emails and voicemails and listener submissions and things like that. And we love them. I mean, we love that people are like the show. And what we've found is that when people like the show, it's they really really like the show.
Yeah.
And I guess we're pretty lucky in that sense. In that. That we do have that kind of admiration from our fans, and we're very, very humbled by it because I just, it's just us,
Well, if you ask me, it's the fuel that keeps it going. It's like that for me. The fan, I had a loyal fan base going into this and gained a bunch of new fans just through, who the heck was, did you hear that? Oh, I'm okay.
That was a car that went by.
Someone rang. Oh no! I actually right then somebody. There they are. Hold on. I'm getting some ring through from somebody. Stupid Skype. Anyway, what was I saying? Now my brain is fried because this ring just rung through my whole head. The fan base is you get a strong loyal fan base and people that really care about what you're doing, and I got a lot of people from iTunes when that came out. My bandwidth exploded that week. And I didn't really advertise it or anything. I just think people ran into it. And that's back when I had broken picture links. My album art wasn't working. You know, yeah. All this stuff everybody went through. And anyway, it's that kind of thing that makes me go, yep, I'm ready to do another show next week. Is it like that for you guys?
How many people are listening to your show?
I get on average between 1,500 and 2,000 downloads per show.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, which I'm pretty happy with. The only downside, obviously, is my bandwidth is getting burned like gas. Yeah, it's gone. And so already this month, what are we at, the 10th or so or whatever the day is? I think it's the 10th today. I'm already more than a quarter of my bandwidth gone. And this is after he bumped it to 250 gig.
Man, have you thought about moving over to like a place like Libsyn?
Yeah. I'm actually probably going to have to do the Libsyn thing. The biggest problem I've had is time getting everything moved over. Oh, it just gives me a headache thinking about it. But yeah, I'm going to have to do something. The host I use is really cool. He gives me free hosting, and he basically sponsors all the things Extra Life does. But I was really feeling kind of guilty last month, and I even had 2 days of downtime because we exceeded the amount, and he was on vacation. And we kind of have a one-on-one thing, or I don't really deal with his tech support. He kind of just deals with me directly, and so I had no site for 2 days. And it was right after our Dungeons & Dragons show, which was like this enormous – that's like the biggest, most downloaded show I've done so far, and apparently we need to do a full-time D&D show, but – anyway.
That was an awesome show. I learned a lot from that show.
I did too. I didn't know jack about that stuff. Those guys are uber geeks, man. I walked into that going, well, let's see. I'm about the same age as a guy who should have been playing a lot, but I didn't really play that much when I was a kid. And these guys, oh man, Obsidian especially, that's all they do down there. And he says, oh, I go, how long's your average game? Oh, I don't know, 24 hours. Thinking, dude, holy crap, I couldn't do that if I wanted.
Yeah, how do people find the time to play that?
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. They all have these lives that I don't have. That's the only thing I can think of. I have a hard enough playing. You know, I'm a kind of a gamer. I enjoy it, but I have a hard enough time playing what I have. So I don't know how I could devote a day to it.
I've been meaning to tell you this, that ever since I started listening to your show, every time I play, sit down to, when I have time to sit down and try to play a video game, I think of you guys. Because I'm like, oh, I bet you it's Scott's. The one I'm really getting into now, I'm a little bit behind on my gaming, but the one I like playing a lot is Ratchet & Clank.
Oh, it's a great game. Yeah, I liked all the Ratchet & Clanks, actually. I really enjoyed them. They were great. In fact, the last gasp, my PS2 died. And its last gaming gasp was Ratchet & Clank Up Your Arsenal. And it was, right toward the end of the game, and my drive in the thing gave out, and I never was able to finish it. And I just didn't have the heart to go buy a new PS2. But
it's an incredible game.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's totally, I don't know how to, some games just kind of play on the same old platform. You know, a game will come out, like in 96 we got Mario 64, which pretty much knocked the platforming games on their butts. And everybody had to go, we got to be like that. And so for the next, however many years, everybody's like that. And then along comes a game where they'll kind of mess with those conventions a little bit and tweak everybody's perception of what the game should be like. And I think Ratchet & Clank does that in spades. That's a great, great game.
You know what I love about Ratchet & Clank is just the artwork. In Up Your Arsenal, they have those little web comics.
Mm-hmm.
Mini vid comics. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
And I just love watching those cutscenes. They're just beautiful.
Yeah,
art.
They're really well done. The character designs in general are great. But the thing that struck me the most was the game actual gameplay. I felt like I was playing in a live action cartoon for the first time, really. And it's a pretty seamless experience. I mean, just tight and clean. Those guys really did a good job.
I was playing it tonight a little bit earlier, and it's just seamless. I mean, it's really a lot of fun, and there are so many ways to get past a problem in that game.
Yeah,
you may not have enough money for the armor, but you're cool because you've got this turret glove that can get up there and get you through. That's the one thing I notice. It's like they don't put you in a, like sometimes you'll play these platform games or these shooters where they'll put you in a situation where you just don't, you can't get past if you don't have this secret.
Exactly.
Thing
you're
something.
Either stuck and you got to look it up online and, curse the game all night, or it's, and that might be because there's a real bug there, or it might be that, it's just not very good at leading you through the game. Or in some cases, they make it too easy. It's like, well, here's the obvious path. Well, Ratchet & Clank is really good at that. At sort of, well, you're in a position you've never been in before. Oh, yeah, that gun I got, that does this. And then you can, you know, you can pull yourself out of there. That's a pretty good observation, I think. Man, you should,
And that's the other thing is that it's any, you know, any age can enjoy it. That's the other thing I think
sure.
It's important.
You should review games. You've got a talent for this, a knack for it.
I should just be a regular guest on your show or something.
Well,
I listening to your show. I mean, it's a lot of fun to listen to. And I listen to one other show that's like yours. It's called Video Game News Radio.
Oh, I haven't checked them out. Are they, how are they?
They're actually out of Cleveland. They're one of the first podcasters I listen to.
There's a lot of Ohio people doing stuff, aren't there? There's Ohio and Illinois. Not Illinois. What's the other place? There's just a lot of people in like Akron and maybe I'm making that up, but it seems like I've heard a lot of podcasts that are coming from that part of the country.
Yeah,
it's
hotbed. Well, it was funny because that was one of the first ones I subscribed to just because I'm like, oh, video game news, what's this? And I subscribe to it,
sure.
And the guy comes on and says, Undead from Cleveland. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, what the hell is this all about?
Yeah, no kidding.
But I'll have to say, you know, your cast is kind of similar to them in that it's like a group thing. They do one a week.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I think yours is a little bit more superior because these guys, I mean, there's nothing wrong with them, but they end up just kind of like, they've got real foul mouths.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just a different group of people.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, we shoot for, I don't know if this is intentional. I don't think it is intentional. I just... You know, it's funny. I was just talking to another web artist today, a guy who does a comic called Little Gamers. A lot of people know who this is, and his name is Mr. Madsen is the name he goes by, and he lives in Denmark. Okay. And I'm talking to him on Skype today, chatting, actually. We were just instant messaging, and he was talking about how much he loves the show. And this is a guy whose comic strip, and other times I've heard him interviewed, he's one of the most foul-mouthed people I've ever heard. I mean, effing this and effing that. And again, all that stuff, I guess, has its place. But I guess I have this reputation for just not, I don't know. To me, it just seems kind of pointless to just cuss your head off. I'm more interested in just getting to the meat of the issues. So, yeah, we keep the show pretty, I don't know if I'd call it G-rated. I'd probably call it PG-rated.
Yeah.
Like your show. Your show strikes me as that as well. I mean,
we don't really talk like that to one another. So
again,
you know,
keeping
like
with your commitment, you got to talk like you would normal, right?
Yeah. Well, it's just like writing, you know? I mean, when I was a copywriter, people said, you know, write how you talk. And that was always my key when I'd write a headline. I just, you know, it connects with people more. So,
yeah. Well, for all you wannabe podcasters out there, the trick is be yourself.
There you go.
That will either destroy your podcast or it will make it grow.
That could be the worst advice you give somebody.
Well,
I was myself, and I still didn't get any listeners.
Now, at the risk of... I know there's a risk in this, but at the risk of a backlash from my fans who will hear this particular show... See, here's what's happened, in my opinion. You and I have a lot in common. You're an artist. I'm an artist. We both do podcasts. We're both family men. We're both very similar backgrounds, probably very similar age. In fact, I'm afraid to even ask, because we're probably as old as each other.
Yeah.
All of
go
us,
ahead.
All the,
how old are you?
I'm 36.
As 36? Of, yeah. I'm going to be 35 this year. Yeah. So
I hate younger people. No, I'm just kidding.
Children of the late 80s.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so, yeah, that's close enough. I'll give you that. But 2 years, yeah. So I was a toddler when you were born. I hate it when I'm the oldest. But anyway, but the point is we kind of come from the same stock, it seems. And I'm going to get accused by listeners of having a big... fuzzy sort of, oh yeah, multiple podcasters, they're in there, you know, scratching each other's back and saying such beautiful things about what each other's doing.
Right.
I can't avoid that, but I think it'd be a great idea to have you on here on a regular basis. I think you have a lot to say. Now, obviously, you got your own show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't want to say...
Nora would kill me.
Yeah, come on over and do my show. So I'm certainly not asking that. But I think occasionally, I think it'd be good. I like to get your opinions and we can, you know...
I'd love to. I'd love to be in one of those group casts.
Sure.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Sure.
Sometimes I'll be listening and I'll think to myself, wait, I'll be talking to the screen. Wait, but you know, hey...
I've heard we have that effect on people, that sometimes they get sort of involved vicariously in what we're talking
about.
Well,
I'm really impressed by the amount interaction you have with just at your blog. I mean, all the comments you got and stuff like that. It's really amazing to me.
Yeah, we have a pretty good following. I mean, I kind of what I was talking about earlier, I was telling this very thing to this Madsen guy. I said, you know, if I was a little more sarcastic, if I was a little more of a jerk, if I was a little more into this whole some of the drama that's sometimes in web comics, I'd probably get a lot more readers. And his answer to me was, nah, yours is unique. You should stick to it. And so I think I'm all right with that. I think I'm okay being known as the nice web comic guy. But I can be a little sarcastic at times, and that never hurts either. So.
Well, it's good. It's good to have a good sense of humor. It's funny because the other thing I wanted to tell you, I know I've told you this over email, but when you did your little video about how you do your web comic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I learned a ton.
And oh, really?
Actually, it was cool. It was very cool. I've actually adopted some of your techniques into some of the stuff I've been doing recently.
Oh, wow.
And
because I think your stuff's awesome. You don't need any help from me. Your stuff rocks.
Well, you know what? It's because I wasn't doing it for a while.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, your suggestions on the type of markers you use, I went out after I watched it. I was so geeky. I watched it, and then I ran out. And not only did I buy – oh, my gosh. This is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
But not only did I buy, like, the type of Sharpies you said, like the grip Sharpies, and then the Micron little things, those things.
Yeah.
But I was watching your video, and I saw like you had this little pencil case.
Yeah.
And so I was there, I go, oh, here's a pencil case just like Scott has. So,
that's funny.
So now I have a little pencil case that looks like yours.
Oh, I'm glad that video had some impact. I'm actually thinking about doing another one because it was so low-ball production. It was like, oh, okay, honey, hold my camera while I draw over here. And she didn't know how to zoom in. It was just like bananas. But yeah, I'm glad that I'm glad somebody saw it.
No, what I love about that is that if I were, if I were a kid and I were doing that, I would love to have. So I would love to have some sort of tutorial like that.
Sure.
Because, you know, when you're drawing or when you're just starting out drawing and stuff like that, or you don't really know, like, what you should be doing. Are you doing the right thing? Or, you know, does this feel right? Until you see someone who's actually doing this stuff and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. It kind of validates you, you know?
Sure.
So,
well, that's good input because I wasn't sure how that thing would be received. I basically thought it would be just sort of a, you know, kind of a trinkety idea where, you know, people could see, I don't know what I thought they could see. It was mainly more of an excuse to mess around with iMovie a little bit, but, but I'm glad I had that impact. The hope is that, you know, other cartoonists will see this and go, oh yeah, I could do this and come up with something really cool on their own. I got a guy who emailed me today and sent me a couple of comics. He's working on a single panel comic of his own. He's kind of got this great connection with like animals and stuff. It's really good stuff. And he claims he was inspired by that. And I just kind of go, what? Are you kidding me? It's just me. It's just me and my dorky stuff. You know, I've been doing this since I was a kid. This isn't anything different, but it's a whole new world now. I got to start selling t-shirts and it's going to be, I got to try to make money now. Cause now I look at the numbers. I go 10,000 unique visitors a day. I got to make money on that.
But that's right.
Figure it out.
You can become your own sponsor.
$1 each. That's all I ask. All of you 10,000 people, just $1. That's all I need. PayPal link's up and ready to go. well, that's good.
You got to make some money somehow off this thing.
So tell us again where you're going this week. You're taking off to Virginia Beach?
Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Virginia Beach. So for all you Virginia Beach podcasters,
yep, go check them out.
Come down to Virginia Beach and check us out.
Yep,
Yes, that's exactly right. We actually rented a couple houses. We're going out with a couple families, and
that's awesome.
You know, it should be fun.
Yeah. All the kids are going, right?
To it. Yes, but we're leaving one home.
Oh.
We're just gonna put him in the basement.
Keep your eye on the place, son. Make sure we don't have any $300 plumbing problems while we're gone.
The youngest one, we're just gonna leave him in the bathroom and then get in the car and take off.
Exactly.
No,
mommy.
But no, it'll be fun and it'll be good to get away.
Well, here's hope and here's my vote that you do. And I don't want you to disrupt your vacation. You only get them every couple of years, it sounds like. So if you get a chance to record something and you put it up on Jawbone, I'm not going to complain. But if you can't, then I totally understand. My wife would vote the other way. But,
I have some ideas for our show. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting because you know, with all these families going, and definitely there's going to be a lot of interaction and stuff, and just the sounds and stuff like that could be a lot of fun.
Sure.
And
sure.
Just, you know, just from a personal standpoint, it's great to capture these things because, you know, as a, and you know this, as a family man, you know, you have to stop and just stop every once in a while.
Sure, sure.
And just to take things for granted so many times, just stop, and because things aren't going to be exactly like they are at moment.
Yeah, exactly. So, I got to do that more. It's like, oh, I mean, we're doing that a little bit this weekend, so we're going to take off for a couple of days and relax and hang out with the kids and so we're living this parallel life, it seems. Just in different states.
Definitely.
I
think that's just in general, you just have to be able to do that.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to future interactions with Jawbone Radio. I don't know in what capacity. You guys might get some funny calls from me once in a while, because once in a while I get a wild hair and I'll call a podcast and you won't even know it's me half the time. But so you might get a few of those. I think having you on a group show would be a great idea. Even some future shows where we could talk about maybe the state of podcasting. That's one thing I don't get a chance to do with a lot of people, is interact with other podcasters. And, you know, this is a good venue for us to, you know, talk about, you know, when big events happen, like iTunes 4.9 was a big deal. But when things like that in the future, which most assuredly will happen to the world of podcasting, everyone's just waiting for Google to do something, and man, that would be great, because whatever they do would probably be gold, is my guess. And it's always good to have somebody I can bounce that stuff off of. These other guys, they're just full on, just the biggest nerds ever when it comes to about 100 things. But when it comes to podcasting, it's like, I feel alone sometimes.
Well, I can be the podcasting nerd of the group.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, because we got a nerd for just about every other capacity. Why not one for podcasting? That's a good idea. Well, I have to say, I totally appreciate you being on this show. I think my listeners will dig on it.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, what I'd like to do, and I'll make sure I do this in the show notes, I'd like to link people to some of your artwork. I think they'd get a big kick out of it, especially my readers, because they're really interested in comics and stuff. I think they'd really like some of your stuff.
I wanted to mention something this weekend. This is actually a big deal. And I'm this weekend, some of my artwork is going to be in a gallery.
No way! Yeah, well, you mentioned something about this in your last show.
Yeah, it's a local gallery here called the Pop Shop Gallery, which is kind of ironic because I'm a huge Keith Haring fan.
Yeah.
And ironic that I'd be awesome in a gallery called the Pop Shop. But some of my drawings are going to be in there. The monster art stuff is going to be in there. And a couple podcaster drawings are going to be in there as well.
Wow,
so
that's great.
It's a couple little things. But the big news, and you may actually be the first person, I'm hitting you with a bunch of new information.
Sweet, we're getting exclusive first story rights on whatever the heck you're about to tell me.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Too bad no one listens. Just kidding. Go ahead.
But what's really cool is that if you go to my Flickr site, which is where all the stuff has been kind of housed for a little bit, you'll see a project that I've been working on for the past couple months called the Monster Art Project. And my goal was to do a bunch of monster art. I was actually influenced by a gentleman by the name of Tom Bagley. And his stuff has kind of influenced me to do a bunch of really kind of creepy monster art type things.
Yeah.
With the goal of doing a show around Halloween. Well, it looks as if my stuff is going to be not only in one show, but two shows, and I'm going to be in a gallery in Chicago. And I've never, ever shown any of my artwork in a gallery before. And I just contacted – I had an artist on the other night from the Gallery of the Absurd, and she saw some of my stuff. She's like, you got to give this guy a call. So I called him and he was like, yeah, I'm interested in being in your show. I mean, I'm of you being in the show. And it's weird because he actually bought three prints for me already without even me outputting them yet.
Wow.
So I'm like,
dude, you're living the dream, man.
I'm really excited. I've never had my stuff show in a gallery, and I just was really floored that the reaction that I got from it. But what he bought was I don't know if you've seen the stuff, but it's this the General Mills monster art stuff.
Yeah.
I did Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and Blueberry.
Yeah. I saw those. Those are awesome.
I did them at these awful creatures.
Yeah, they're so totally wicked cool. They're not the cereal box mascots we remember as kids. These are totally re-envisioned, just cool stuff. They're really neat.
But that's going to be part of the show. And I'm also, in the next couple of weeks, going to be doing a bunch of new artwork specifically for the show. So
well, that's great. I hope that what I'll do after the show here is get some links from you to make sure I send people the right direction. But I'd like people to go check his stuff out. It's really good. You'll be really impressed. His style is very fitting for something I'd post on Extra Life. It's very, very much something I would dig on and get into. So you guys will want to make sure to check that out. Also, you've got one up there of an alien kind of chasing down a chick. It's way retro, like, 50s kind of, you know,
destroy all hairdos.
Yeah. That is totally cool. So everybody out there, you want to look for that one. This stuff is great. I've got one of them. This is, again, I'm going to be accused of having a love-in podcast, but I made it my desktop at work today. And that very one's right up on my desktop. And I had two or three people come by and go, "Wow, that's good. Did you do that?" I'm like, "Nope. This is somebody
Wait,
else."
Wait, you're saying you put my Destroy All Hairdos on your desktop?
I did. It's on my desktop at work.
Holy crap. Are you serious, man?
I did.
That's like super cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, no problem. I think it's really cool. I'm totally digging it. And I think... you know, in future, you ought to do some full-size desktop wallpapers. I think people would just freak and get
I haven't even thought
crazy.
About that. Right now, all I'm thinking of, I'm just working on trying to get some stuff done for the show and for the gallery show, not
sure.
the podcast.
Sure.
But just also try to figure out how I'm going to output this stuff because literally, it was weird. I just said, "Hey, you know, I'd like to be in your show." And he's like, yeah, we want you in the show.
Jeez,
so,
that's awesome. That is really cool exposure.
Well, I guess it's one of those things where you just never know unless you do it.
Yep,
so,
yep. And it's good timing. Know. It's good people. It's all that stuff coming into one. And I don't know. I think you deserve it, especially at the rate you pump this stuff out. You'll be doing shows every weekend, it sounds like. So that'll be great. Well, I'm going to we'll go ahead and sew this up. But, again, thanks for being here. This is totally cool. That you took the time to be on my little show.
Thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we were finally able to hook up.
Yeah, it's good. There was a long time. We've been meaning to do this, by the way, everybody, for like, I don't know, what, a month
like
more?
Like a month.
Yeah, and it was just on and off. And he had something, I had something. I got that food poisoning. That was a fun week. That was just last week. It seems like years ago now. I was a different person then, but having you on has been a pleasure, and so I look forward to doing some stuff in the future. Take care while you guys are there. Tell your wife I hope all goes well. Make sure you guys use lots of sunblock and keep the kids out of the deep end.
Definitely, and watch out for sharks.
That's right. All right. Well, this has been Len. He's from Jawbone Radio. Just so everyone knows, you can go to jawboneradio.com. Right? Have I got that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you'll find his log. You'll find his blog.
Whoa.
Hope you don't find his log there. There's big trouble if that happens. He's got his blog there, which is really entertaining. He's got archive shows as well as the most current one and great stuff over there in general. It's jawboneradio.com. Again, Len, thanks, and we will talk to you later.
Good evening. It's time again for a moment with Minister Ben.
Well, hello there. Minister Ben here. I have not been able to give more thoughts and ideas to you worthless losers who game for the last couple of weeks because I've been busy studying the effects of gaming on a moronic, idiotic mind like all of yours. I know that seems harsh, and the truth is, if you weren't all pornographers, I wouldn't be so harsh, but you are. Even if you don't know you are, and you're wondering probably why is Minister Ben so rude? Well, I'll tell you why. This new Grand Theft Auto San Andreas situation is just proof. Proof, I tell you, as you all know, about pornography and how it's affected all of you gamers. I mean, look at it. These guys build this game, and who are the developers of games? But gamers themselves, people that play games. And in their spare time, what did they do? Well, they wrote in this code of these pornography things. I'll tell you what it does. It corrupts the mind. But it's worse than that. I'm sure a lot of you, with your acne-ridden faces and balding heads and, well, truthfully, large girths, are saying to yourself right now, well, he doesn't know me. He doesn't know the real me. I'm better looking than that. Here's your problem. Do you ever just turn the monitor off? And as a little bit of light shines on it, get a reflection of yourself? If you did, you would see the obese, acne-ridden, balding person that has become the pornography of our generation. Yes, brothers and sisters, I know that this is harsh, but it's my call to you. It's my call that you change your lives, that you become better than you are.
Been listening to the Extra Life podcast. If you'd like to participate, send us an email, myextralife@gmail.com, or call the Beef Line, 206-350-BEEF.